Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Silent breed is people!
One morning, I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I don't know.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
E.T. Phone home.
It's the Al Travis Show, and we get him in here on Fridays, and we like having him on. He is Representative Walter Hutson. Representative, how are you doing today, my friend?
Oh, it's been a lot of fun this past week, for all the wrong reasons, but still a lot of fun.
Well, and we're going to have to chat about all. Before we do, though, get some niceties out of here. You you started another podcast. I know you're on the omnibus bill thing with Representative Munson, right? I mean, you're still doing that?
But yeah, I do.
New foray into the podcast world. You're like one of them influencers, aren't you?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what direction it goes. But yeah, I've got the Omnibus podcast with former state representative Jeremy Munson. That one's a little irregular in terms of its publishing schedule. We try to do it every week, but between his schedule and mine, it doesn't always work out. But I've got a new one that I'm standing up with state representative Shane Mecklen, and it's creatively enough called the Hutson Mecklen podcast. It's not out yet, but it will be out most likely in the next 24 hours, possibly even yet today. And I just got done rendering. It'll be both videos. So it'll be available on YouTube and through audio podcasts. And I like it. I think we did a pretty good job. I think you guys will be entertained. We definitely talk about what we're going to talk about today in entertaining fashion. So,
well, and I want to walk softly around this. And I only say that because... like you said, this is a really interesting week. If you just want to look at it from D's and R's, obviously the Democrats complete defense. You know, we can't lose what we've got. The Republicans have, you know, fresh meat in the water. But I would like to start, if we can, with Senator Mitchell and the human side of this, and where I'm coming from in this. When the story first broke on Monday, it didn't make sense. What, you're telling me a state senator drove from Woodbury, drove 3 hours to here to burglar something. And then the stories come out. It's her mom's house, but she's got dementia. It's all misunderstanding. And then, wait a minute. Well, if it's a misunderstanding, why is she still in jail? And the story just kept getting bigger and weirder and all that. So first I say to the Democrats who start throwing out this whole, it's just a misunderstanding. There's nothing to see here. I get it, but that's all you guys do in your job. On the other side, the Republicans, and I'm going to be honest with you, a little ashamed. Within minutes of that, mugshot came out, the meme started. I mean, and it's exactly what you expect where we're at today. But I was sitting here looking at this gal saying, there's just something, it's deeper than this. We'll get to the political side of it, sir. You know what I'm saying, though? Even if you believe everything that she is saying, she still screwed this thing up. You don't get your Catwoman burglar suit on and drive 3.5 hours, sneak in a window, and then lie on the floor at mom's bedside to see if she's okay. Even if you believe what she's saying doesn't make sense. I feel sorry for her, I guess, is my first point before we start doing memes of she wants your money in capital and she wants your mom. You know, you get what I'm saying? Can we look at her from that point of view for just a moment and say, there's more here than we know, and it's not good.
So let me address that, and I'll try to match your tone and tenor here.
Okay.
While still making my point, which is a little bit different. Okay.
Okay.
So I forget exactly how the phrase goes, but it's something along the lines of politics ain't beanbag. And the idea of that is you don't get to complain at all ever about how you're treated as a public figure. Like, you just don't.
Yeah.
You can play the victim all you want, but your fair game when you take on one of these positions and you are called out for behavior that you quite apparently engaged in. You don't get to complain about people going online and making memes and milking it for all it's worth. And here's the thing. I might be more inclined towards the let's give her the benefit of the doubt argument if there was any doubt to give her benefit from.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, there isn't. And there wasn't from the beginning. As you note, the story from the very get-go was this idea of, like, if you wind it back to the earliest dawn of the story, mm-hmm. we knew very little. All we knew was that she was arrested for first-degree burglary, that it happened at 4:30 in the morning, that it happened 3.5 hours from her residence. And that was pretty much it. Like, at that time, there were rumors circulating that it might have something to do with relatives and family, but none of that was confirmed. But even just those three facts, arrested for first-degree burglary, 4:30 in the morning, 3.5 hours from home. There's just very few plausible explanations for what could be going on there. And what kind of started to trickle out in the way of rumor before we got additional details was this idea that she was visiting a relative who suffered from chronic dementia, and that she was doing a welfare check, or that she was staying overnight in order to take care of her. And it was a case of mistaken identity that resulted from the dementia-riddled relative waking up in the middle of the night and not recognizing who she was. But that on its face did not really pass muster as a plausible explanation, simply because if that were the case, okay, like, just play this out in your head of what would the police response be like if that was the case? Well, they would show up to her house. They would see her car parked neatly in the driveway where you would expect it to be if you were a visitor. Yeah. They would find no sign of forcible entry to the home. They would enter the premises and see her in, like, sleep attire, most likely. Yeah. They would see, like, a pillow and a blanket on the couch. There would be evidence that she was there as a visitor. And she would also be able to produce identification. Yeah. She would be able to cite the nature of the dementia-riddled relative that would be apparent to the officers. It certainly wouldn't resolve in her being arrested, taken away to jail, and a completely debilitated relative who can't take care of herself being left alone in the house. That's not how that would have played out. And so from the get-go, the story was pretty implausible. And then as the details have been released, first in the form of the criminal complaint, that was disclosed the next day, and then all of these additional details, her own statements on social media completely contradicting the sworn criminal complaint put forward by authorities, that, by the way, they have to sign under penalty of perjury. So she's accusing them of perjury. She's accusing them of lying, which they would have no reason to do. There's no reason for them to construct some conspiracy in order to take out a state senator from Woodbury. And tremendous risk that they would be taking on to do so. And then, like, everything that's come out, it's very clear that she has both lied about what she did, why she did it, and also lied about the nature of her stepmother. She's portrayed her stepmother as being this dementia-riddled, Alzheimer's suffering person who cannot function. But that's not the case. This lady called 911. She sought and obtained a restraining order. She continues to live alone. Like, this is – so you're talking about somebody whose demonstrable character is so vile that she was willing to lie about the medical status of her own relative in order to cover her own criminal conduct. I'm not particularly interested in pulling punches.
Okay, and I have no problem with what you're saying there, because, again, to me, if I gave her all of her argument, at some point from Woodbury at 1 o'clock to Detroit Lakes at 3:34 in the morning, by the time you stop at the gas station, got that cup of coffee to stay awake, at some point you would say to yourself, this is a bad plan, sneaking through the basement, doing all the, you know. So I my point is, for me, and then we're going to go to break. We'll come back and talk the political side of this. My point is, giving her everything in her argument and the way she did it, something's not clicking as well as it should for a state senator to be voting on some things that we all need and desperately want. I would ask her to, in my opinion, resign, because she's got to take care of those three kids, because she's mentally made a couple of weird decisions that she shouldn't have made. If mom is that bad, then you got to take care of mom. And, oh, by the way, you know, you're an Air Force officer. If this goes south for you, you no longer are. This is a, what happened was a life-changing event. Even if you give her everything, I think for that, and if the DFL is serious, convince your friend and fellow DFLer, resign. Minnesota will be okay. We'll figure out what happens next. I got to go to break. You get to talk next. The politics of it, because it does change everything. We've got him, Representative Walter Hudson, on the Al Travis Show.
Are you kidding me?
You know that comment you said to the radio? The thing that we got wrong?
Clearly, Brussels sprouts are the worst vegetable.
Call us and let the world know your thoughts. 855-257-7469. That's 855-ALS-SHOW.
One more thing before I throw it to Representative Walter Hudson. And he will never be a sponsor of the program. I don't know who he is. I don't care. The lawyer she has might be the worst lawyer ever. If I'm not mistaken, he came out with his thing saying she was, you know, trying to help mom out and there's a welfare check thing. And as long as she was there, she took a few things that she felt were hers. I don't know the definition of burglary, but sneaking in basement windows, taking things that you'd rather be yours than the person who has them. I think that's the definition of burglary. And this guy wrote it in the letter to the papers. Okay, I leave it up. That's of all the people who really, this guy, really? Okay, Senator, our representative, your thoughts on how this affects what I've said so far and how is this going to affect the last 3 weeks of session?
Well, let's pick up where you left off because you were talking about and I really do appreciate this. Like in Minnesota, we're good people. We care about the well-being of our fellow man. And even in a situation like this, where you have somebody who's committed what increasingly seems to be a deeply vile act, you're still concerned about her kids. You're concerned about her well-being. I mean, this is, as you stated, is a life-changing event. She's probably going to lose out on pensions. She's probably going to get kicked out of the armed forces. Eventually, she's most certainly no longer going to be a state senator. I mean, one way or the other. But I guess where I'm coming from is that caring about her and caring about her personal circumstances is a secondary consideration to ensuring that she is no longer in this position as a state senator. Like she needs to resign. The second she does, I'll be more than happy to talk about how much sympathy we should have for her situation and her children and the people around her. But as it stands, she's dangerous and she's in a position of authority. She's in a position to make policy decisions that affect 6 million people in the state of Minnesota. And that is not acceptable.
I give you the last 4 minutes because you are 100% correct here. Because the latest thing today, today's deal, everyone's always going to be something. They're coming out. She's not resigning. She feels terrible. People are using this against her. It's like, what? I didn't break anything. Using it against her. She thinks people should have more sympathy. She is not going to resign. And I throw two questions out. Either we go with the idea that she's wounded enough politically that the Senate can't get any big, crazy things done. So it's got to be 33-33. We'll get done what we have to get done. Or it's go for the gusto here with the Democrats.
Yeah.
You stay on. We're going to pass this stuff. We're going to get this thing done because, like you said, she's not going to be around one way or the other in the next election cycle. You know what I'm saying? So what is it going to be, sir? How does this affect you and the House? What are you guys going to give to the Senate to pass? And can they?
Well, we've got very conflicting signals because the scuttlebutt from behind the scenes is that the Democrats, at least on some level, recognize the position that they find themselves in and have conceded to the notion that they're not going to be able to pass legislation that is entirely partisan and supported only by them. They're going to have to work with Republicans, certainly in the Senate. But the conflicting signal that we've gotten is the calendar for the day on Monday, which has three insane radical gun control provisions on it, which just strikes me as extraordinarily tone deaf. Like, I don't understand what these people are thinking. Are you serious? Like, a week after one of your state senators is arrested for first-degree burglary, which, by the way, we now know that she was discovered in the bedroom of her stepmother. Okay? So in that context, you're going to put forward bills that make it more difficult for people to defend themselves in their own homes? I mean, it really does boggle the mind. I cannot believe the Democrats in the Minnesota House are this tone deaf. I mean, I can believe it because they haven't shown extraordinarily good judgment, period. But this is like beyond the pale. Like anybody with like a basic elementary understanding of how politics works recognizes how stupid that is, and yet they're moving full forward with that agenda.
Well, and I'm telling you that there is those two options. You get serious about, let's just get through the next 15 days together and let's try to just work through this. Or you go for the touchdown. It's the Hail Mary pass time. Yeah. If you want it, get her done. And that's what concerns me the most about all this, is how this goes. My quick question to you is, she, do you know if she is allowed? She hasn't been to work the last 2 days. Everybody's back right now, Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
She hasn't been back, not because she's in jail. She just hasn't been back because it's embarrassing. I don't know that she'll be there today. Can she go through the next 15 days and just not show up for work? Can she vote remotely? I know COVID let you. Can you do that just because you're just scared to go to work because it's embarrassing?
Well, listen, they have the majority. Under the law and under the rules, they could do whatever they want because they're the ones writing the rules, right? So it's really a political question. The question is, this is the operative question for the remainder of the legislative session. Just how stupid are Democrats? Just how dumb are they?
They're going to do a little proving here. Huh?
Proving the point. We're going to find out. We're going to find out exactly how dumb these people are. And really, you know, maybe I'm being unfair. Maybe it's not a question of intelligence. Maybe it's just a question of radicalism, because I think what you're actually seeing here, especially I suspect in the House, in the Minnesota House, because by the way, they needed extra time to caucus this week, because I can only imagine what the conversations are behind closed doors amongst the Democrats in the House. But what you've got is you've got a bunch of children who were just elected in 2022 into a majority under a trifecta, who are a bunch of like committed radical activists who have never been told no in their life. They have never once had to face somebody looking them in the eye and saying, you can't have that. And now they're presented with this situation where the rational and responsible thing to do is to slow your roll for the last month of your term. I mean, they've gotten, listen, we've got the most aggressive abortion policy in the world. We had a trans refugee state. We spent $19 billion. Like, you can't slow your roll for 1 month? Their answer is no, because they're that crazy. And they're in the driver's seat because the saner voices, of which I suspect Speaker Hortman is one of them, don't actually have any meaningful control over the caucus because there's just too many nut jobs.
I got to go to break. I got to end this. I'm sorry. We're out of time. I love having you on the show. We will keep an eye on it, you and I, every Friday right here, and we'll see. I think you're absolutely right. We get to find out who the Democrats really are. When times are, it's easy when you're in charge, you got everything. When times are tough, where do we go? We'll find out. Thanks, Representative Hudson, for coming on the program.
Absolutely.